Many of us may be thinking, that one's my favorite. That's my favorite gospel passage, favorite parable of Jesus. We just love the details of it, and they are beautiful. How the Father is looking to the road, and when He spots His Son at a distance, He runs out to Him. How the Father won't even let the Son finish the lines that He rehearsed before He calls for a robe to be put on Him, a ring on His fingers, and the sandals on His feet. How the Father pulls out all the stops, slaughters the fattened calf to welcome the Son home. We love this parable. We love this gospel passage. We love how it makes us feel. And yet I would say that when we read the scriptures and they seem to tell us what we want to hear, we need to return to the scriptures with closer attention. If the final result of our hearing this parable, for example, is that it makes us feel good, we've somehow gotten disconnected from the intention of the one who delivered these words. You see, the beginning of this gospel passage said it was to the Pharisees and scribes He directed this parable. To the ones who would not have felt so good upon hearing this story. I'm not saying that we want the gospel to make us feel awful, far from it. But Jesus' words are meant as a challenge for us. G.K. Chesterton once said, "We do not really want a religion that is right when we are right. What we want is a religion that is right when we are wrong." We don't need a religion just to affirm us in how we're doing and that we're okay. What we need is a religion that tells us what we need when we are in the wrong. We want Jesus to be right when we don't have it right. So this gospel perhaps is sufficient in itself to preach to us. I don't need to preach about the great lessons that it imparts to us. But what I'd like to do tonight maybe is offer a series of questions for us to come to know a bit better our attitude towards this parable and see perhaps where we are wrong and we need to see how Jesus is right. We'll do that with just taking the perspective of the three different characters in this parable of the prodigal son. First is the father. How is it that we treat the sinner in our lives? We tend to complain, "Oh, so-and-so, they're so selfish, they're so self-absorbed." Do we treat the sinner with arrogance? "Oh, can you believe what she said, what she did?" Or do we treat the sinner with repugnance? "Can't even stand to look at him after what he's done." In contrast, how does the father treat the sinner? Do we tend also to give people what they deserve? And without generosity towards others, or to act without generosity towards others because of the way we judge them as being unworthy of such gifts? How does the Father treat the undeserving? Taking the perspective of the younger son, when we find ourselves wrapped up in worldly pursuits and lost and far away from God, do we stay away from the Father? Do we tell God, at least through our actions, through not praying, not attending Mass, do we tell Him that we don't need Him anymore? Are we afraid to return to Him? Are we afraid of the sacrament of confession, for example? "I can't stand the thought of naming my sins." Or do we even pity ourselves? "Oh, God doesn't care for me. I'm not worth saving." from the perspective of the older son, do we get caught up in that sense of entitlement? Oh, you owe me, God. I've been so good. I've been so obedient. Answer my prayers. Or do we see our life with God perhaps as really one of slavery? All these years, I've served you. Or does our sense of justice get in the way of the grace and mercy that God wants to show? Telling others, oh, they don't deserve another chance. Or that forgiveness is for the weak. So what if our religion is right when we are right? What we need is a religion that is right when we are wrong. There's so many things in this beautiful gospel passage to ponder and to help stretch us in our life with the Lord. If this is one of your favorite passages in the scriptures, good. Great. All the more reason to spend time with it. Pray with it this week. Luke 15. That should be on our minds and our hearts often. It has much, much more to tell us than perhaps we think on the surface, than that immediate feeling that we get from it. We don't necessarily always need just that pat on the back. We need our religion to be right most when we are wrong.